This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
God, is that Private Party?
The revolution is televised.
The devils! Settle! Sammy Guevara.
Doctor, I'll see you now.
Join the Dark Order.
You're listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich. This is episode 138, and this is not going to be, you know, a full proper episode this week. More of a triple S episode. Short, simple, and solo. Much like my love life, folks. But anyway, I'm going to give you guys a little recap of my trip this past weekend to Chicago for the big Forbidden Door pay-per-view, the first co-branded AEW New Japan show. And I did one of these when I went to All Out last year, so this will be more of the same. The big difference, though, is that unlike the All Out recap, I am not dead-ass tired. I got some sleep, I got some shut-eye, and I am fully rested for this recap here, so that's a big difference right there. But Forbidden Door, when they announced the show, you know, over a month ago, I was determined to go. Now, I said, all right, I want to be there for that show live. I have to go to that. And right away, the conversation in the VOW Slack was like, okay, let's get a suite. Let's pool our resources. Let's get the money together and get a suite for the show and make it a very special night for all of us. And we did. We all chipped in, got the suite. Not all of us. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, all 50 contributors to VOW were all in that little suite together. But the people going, you know, we all chipped in. And it was, I think, around 20 people altogether. So, yeah, cool stuff. Now, I did an episode of the great and wonderful Alan 4L's podcast, Pro Res Paradise, on the PW Torch Network. About Forbidden Door, a preview of the show. And we mentioned how, you know, my excitement level, it had kind of dipped a little bit in the build-up to the show. Because when they announced the show, I was super into it. I was super pumped up. But as time went on and the build wasn't really all that great and there weren't a lot of proper dream matches on the card itself, and even worse, the injuries, which took away those dream matches. You know, no Punk, no Bryan, Kenny Omega still out, Ishii taken off the card, Romu taken off the card, no Naito, no Ibushi, no Andrade or Lucha Brothers because of the whole AAA CMLL bullshit. So, yeah, I was disappointed with the card on paper in comparison to the one in my head, and in all of our heads, I think. But as I told Alan on that episode, you know, even though I was disappointed, I was still really looking forward to going. And, you know, once I got in the suite and the show started, I'd have a fun time, and it'd be a fun show. And boy, oh boy, did I underestimate just how much fun it would be and how much of a good time I would have and how good of a show it would be. But we'll get to that soon, I know. But yeah, the great Alan 4L, a good friend and a pro's pro, and always a pleasure to be on his show whenever I'm on there. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, you're a bit late to the party, I'd say, because the show's already happened. But look, if you want to listen to it now, I won't stop you. You know, you do you. Do your own thing. Be my guest. So yeah, the big trip. Let's get to it then. It was from Saturday to Monday. I flew out from Boston to Chicago at, I think it was stupid o'clock in the morning. It was very, very early, and I was on pretty much no sleep. So yeah, not a lot of fun. I did manage to sleep on the plane a little bit, but the flight is like, I don't know, 3 hours. So yeah, no 40 winks for me, or 41 winks, as Brian Butterfield would say. So I get to Chicago all safe and sound, and I do a little walking around. I'm not really much of a sightseeing kind of guy. That's not really my thing, but I did walk around a little bit because I had some time to kill before the Airbnb check-in. But it was also kind of gray and rainy that day, too. So, yeah, not much fun to walk around in that. But I checked into my Airbnb, and I pretty much just relaxed for the rest of the day. Again, the weather was so blah, and I was so tired that I just kind of chilled out in the Airbnb for the rest of that Saturday, outside of dinner, of course. But yeah, that was Saturday. That's pretty much the entire day for me. So yeah. Now Sunday, that was the day, the big day, not just because of the show, but because of the pre-show VOW barbecue. We did one last year at Chris Samsa's house. Him and his wife Megan were the hosts, and we did the same thing this year, and like last year, it was a wonderfully delicious and fun time. Chris is a wunderkind on the grill, cooking up all sorts of great meats to eat, and oh boy, was there a lot of meat to eat. There was more meat than a Sean Stasiak comp tape. Folks, there we go. But yeah, no, seriously, it was a lot of fun being at the barbecue. And it was fun to just be among friends. You know, there wasn't as many people as there were last year's cookout, but still a pretty nice group, including guys I'd never met before in person, like Kelly Harris and Jeff Andrews, people I haven't seen in years, like John Carroll and Sean Sidor, and people from last year's group, like Alex Wendland, Jeremy Sexton, Steve Case, and his wife Elise. So, yeah, a fun time being there at Chris's house and eating lots of barbecue and having fun and talking wrestling. And that's a big part of the trip. It's not just about the wrestling show. It's getting together with friends and reconnecting and laughing and joking and eating and drinking and shaking hands and hugging and all the camaraderie that makes these trips so much more fun and so much more worthwhile. So yeah, that was the barbecue. We stuffed our faces like pigs for a couple of hours. And then we went to the United Center for Forbidden Door in the lovely suite. And the suite was pretty good. You know, it wasn't a crazy looking suite. It was pretty straightforward. Just a room with more food and drink to consume. That was pretty much it. But the seats were nice. I got a great view of the ring. And I got to meet some more people there. Damon from Super J Cast. Sean Flynn, former guest. Adam Berger, VOW contributor. So yeah, I didn't like eat a ton in the suite because I was still pretty full from the barbecue, but I had a couple things, and overall I was just kind of excited about the show and being there live. So yeah, now the show itself, I'm not going to recap, you know, match by match or go through it with a fine-tooth comb or anything. It's more of a big picture thoughts kind of deal here. And you know, I said this about All Out when I went there last year. I said that All Out was not only the best show I've been to live in my life, but also the best AEW show to date. And I think Forbidden Door has taken both of those mantles, because whatever you want to say about the build and politics and curses and injuries or whatever, the end result, the final product, what we got was an incredible all-timer of a show for a couple of different reasons. Number one was the crowd. This crowd was amped up and ready to go from the first match on the buy-in all the way to the main event. This crowd was hot and invested all the way through because they knew they were seeing something special. This was a special show. You know, where else are you going to see Sting jump off the entrance rig like Batman and then become best friends with Shingo Takagi. You know, where else are you going to see Katsuyori Shibata save Orange Cassidy from a beatdown and then wear the sunglasses to rapturous applause and cheers? You know, it's like, yeah, this was a really special occasion because, yeah, we're seeing a lot of New Japan guys who we haven't seen live in a very long time, if ever. And they're interacting with AEW wrestlers who they don't normally interact with. That's the whole hook and appeal of the show. It's these two different sets of guys coming together. And yeah, was it the dream card we all wanted? Maybe not, but that crowd still treated this show like it was a major, major deal. I mean, on the buy-in, when Yoshihashi's music hits, and the people pop for it, you knew, okay, this is going to be something special. And it was. So the crowd was great. And, you know, normally that's not often the case with AEW pay-per-views. You know, a lot of times with these shows, they're long and there gets to a point where the crowd just kind of burns out and loses their energy. And maybe they pick it back up, but there's at least one part of the show where there's like a considerable dip in crowd energy. It happened at All Out when I went there. It happened at Double or Nothing last month. It happened at Revolution before that. So yeah, these things tend to happen at AEW pay-per-views. Not the case for this one. The crowd was up all night. And I think the big reason for that was A, the pacing of the show. This show did not feel as long as it was. It flew by. And B was the match quality. And more importantly, the consistency of the match quality. Because there have been a lot of AEW pay-per-views, especially in recent times, where they just deliver some awesome matches. I thought Revolution this year, great pay-per-view in terms of match quality. Double or Nothing had a lot of great matches on there, including Anarchy in the Arena, which I went 5 stars on. All Out last year, again, a lot of great matches, including Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks in the cage, which to this day is still the best match I've ever seen live. The thing is, though, those shows, as great as they were, also had dips. There were some okay or forgettable or even bad matches on those shows. Forbidden Door, on the other hand, this show was as consistent as you can be in delivering very good to great matches. If I could use a baseball analogy, there have been shows with home runs, sometimes even grand slams, but also, you know, a couple of groundouts or bloop singles. This show was like double, triple, home run, line drive, home run, another triple. Like, the bat was cracking all night long. And some matches were better than others, but there was no point in the show where I was like, all right, this is kind of whatever, or this stinks. No, this show was great from the buy-in, where you had like Despian Kanemaru versus Keith and Swerve in a great little tag match, to the opener of the main show with the six-man between Jericho, Sammy, and Suzuki versus Kingston, Yuta, and Shota, all the way up to the main event with Mox Tanahashi and everything in between, including what I thought was the match of the night between Will Ospreay and Orange Cassidy. That match, it didn't reach the zenith of Young Bucks Lucha Brothers, but it's up there. I mean, going in, I knew it was going to be a banger, but boy, did that match deliver, and then some. Just seeing the interplay between Ospreay and Orange and their different characters and the sequences, the near falls towards the end, the crowd going crazy, just an incredible match. And of course, the post-match stuff with Shibata was the icing on the cake, really. I mean, I will freely admit, I jumped up and down like a child when his music hit and he came out because I was that excited for him. Same for when Pac won the All-Atlantic title. I did jump up and down there too, because I love Pac so much. But yeah, every match on this show delivered in some way or another. You know, whether it was Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa, that was really good. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Claudio Castagnoli, who, by the way, got easily one of, if not the biggest pop of the night when he came out. That was a crazy reaction live. That was a great match. The main event, Mox Tanahashi, you know, that was a dream match for a lot of people, including myself. It had been built up for a very long time, and it was indeed an awesome main event. You know, I mean, the part I'll never forget is towards the end where Tanahashi completely turned the crowd to his favor against Mox. That was a sight to behold. But yeah, I mean, even the four ways, those were a lot of fun. And I wasn't looking forward to seeing two four ways in the same show. let alone one for the world title, you know, but still good action. I really enjoyed seeing a guy like Clark Connors get the fans behind him in his match. And, you know, of course, seeing Okada get the megastar pop and treatment in his match. That was fun to see. And again, you know, a great crowd like this will elevate anything. And they did that for those two four-ways to me. The only letdown, the only little slip-up, I think, was the ending of that world title four-way, where Okada went for the Rainmaker on Cole. Cole kind of collapsed a bit. Jay came in with the Blade Runner on Okada and just kind of pinned Cole on nothing, which was weird to see live and a bit deflating, but we found out quickly afterwards that Cole was injured, so they had to, you know, improvise, but also get out of there quickly and not injure Cole further, which is understandable. You know, you don't want the guy to get further injured, especially with the current injury bug going around the locker room in AEW. So that was, you know, again, a letdown, but Mox Tanahashi picked it back up right afterwards. So, yeah, they got us back. So, yeah, that was Forbidden Door. Again, just an amazing, fun, unforgettable night of wrestling. And I'm not alone in that. You know, this show is getting a lot of praise from everyone. The suite was just buzzing the entire night through. I sat next to Damon during the show, and at one point I look over to him and I'm like, this is a pretty fucking great show, isn't it? And he's like, dude, I think this is the best show I've ever been to. And Damon's been to a lot of wrestling shows over the years, so if he says that, then that really means something. But yeah, that was Forbidden Door. A show that, you know, on paper looked okay, but a bit disappointing. But the actual show itself was A+, 10 out of 10. And think about this. If the show was that great without Punk, without Brian, without Omega, without Naito, without a lot of guys, think of how good it will be next year when those guys are around, knock on wood, and they can put on more dream matches for us to enjoy. Think about that. I can't wait. I want it now. but yeah, that was Sunday. That was the big day. And Monday was going home day. So I did manage to go to Portillo's on Monday, though. I did go there because I couldn't leave Chicago without trying Portillo's. And I got a couple of dogs, some fries, a nice root beer. And gotta say, pretty good. Pretty good. So yeah, I flew home Monday night, got back home safe and sound, and on time, by the way. I will say, another big plus of this trip was no flight delays and no cancellations. I know that there have been a lot of those lately with air travel. It sucks. It's the worst. It's happened to me before, but this time it didn't. So airplane gods, if you're up there, thank you for the smooth and easy flights. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening. And again, next time I will give you a full, proper episode. But until then, I will say that Music of the Mat is part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find all the great podcasts on there at voicesofwrestling.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. VoicesOfWrestling.com/Discord for all discussions and comments. VoicesOfWrestling.com/donate for all donations. Just click the big donate button beneath the name Music of the Mat if you donate. Hey, thanks so much. You're awesome. And of course, rate, review, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other places. I'm Andrew Rich, and I'll see you next time on Music of the Mat. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.